kind of what we're doing over there, and the Lord really has blessed us. When we go back over there, our next step that we need to get to is to get a building, and that way we can reach more of the people in the community. The homeless and those that are in the Beach Heart Park has really given us an open door to reach people in the community. They know we're there. We're reaching their loved ones, and even a radio station came and interviewed me a couple weeks ago and put me on the air saying what we're doing over there. So we need a building. We need your prayers, and we really need your prayers. We cover your prayers. If everybody in here would just pray for us, man, we would appreciate that so much. Well, if you got your Bibles, open them to two places. The book of Ezekiel, chapter number 44. And when you get there, if you want to put a bookmark or something in there, Ezekiel chapter number 44. And then turn to 1 Samuel chapter number 3. I kind of want to share with you tonight a truth that has changed my life. A truth that has revolutionized my Christian life. And I believe it's because I got a hold of this truth that God called me to preach and has moved in my life. So we'll start with 1 Samuel chapter number 3. And when you get there, if you would please stand in honor of reading God's word. 1 Samuel chapter number 3, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this evening. Lord, we thank you so much for everything you've done for us. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the free gift of salvation you so freely gave us. And Lord, we thank you for the price that you paid for it. Lord, it cost us nothing, but it cost you everything. You gave your life so that we might have life. We might have an eternal life, an everlasting life, an abundant life. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for that gift. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy, your grace, your patience, your long-suffering, Lord, and for having anything to do with us, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity you've given me to preach your word tonight, Lord, and I just pray that, Lord, you do what I cannot do, and that is to speak to the hearts of each and every person here tonight. Lord, may I just get out of the way and let the real preacher come down and preach to us. Lord, I pray that when we walk away from this place, we walk away knowing that you've met with us and that you've dealt with us, and may we walk away with a closer walk with you. Lord, I ask all this for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This is taking place in the time of Judges. Eli, the priest, he was a priest and a judge here. And every time you see him in these first four chapters, you see him sitting down. In chapter number 1, it says that he sat down upon a seat. And in chapter 2, he sits down on a seat. In chapter 4, you see him twice sitting down in a seat. And if you look at the tabernacle and you look at all the articles that are in the tabernacle, one thing you will not find is a seat. That was one thing the priest was not supposed to be doing. He was supposed to always be working. And this went on through ages and ages and ages until one day our great high priest finished the work on the cross of Calvary, and now he is sitting down at the right hand of the throne of God. But Eli should not have been sitting down on God. And because he sat down on God, I believe he lost his discernment, he lost his descendants, and he lost his desire. But what I want to point out to you is, in verse number 4, it says that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. Why did God call Samuel? Well, I believe in chapter number 2, or in verse number 2, or verse number 3, it says, "And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep." Eli was too busy, worried about himself. He let the lamp go out. The fire of God. I believe it was at that point in time, when the fire quit burning, that God said, Eli, I'm done with you. I'm turning my attention now to Samuel. Why did God turn to Samuel? Well, in verse number 1, it says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli." I believe that God called Samuel because Samuel ministered to the Lord. Now, ministering to the Lord is totally different than ministering for the Lord. Ministering for the Lord is teaching a lesson, giving a sermon, passing out a tract, helping someone in his name. Ministering to the Lord, on the other hand, is drawing near to him personally and privately. Ministering to the Lord takes place not on stage, but in the closet. Ministering to the Lord is not what others see us do, but what the Lord alone enjoys as we spend time with him. Ministering to the Lord is the highest calling in life, and every single one of us can do that. Ministering to the Lord. In Deuteronomy chapter number 10, verse number 8, you don't have to turn there, but it says, "At that time the Lord separated the tribe of Levi to bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord, to minister unto him, and to bless in his name unto this day." God set aside the whole tribe of Levi. They were the priests. And he said, "You get to minister to the Lord. This is going to be your inheritance. Me, I'm your inheritance. And you get to minister to me. Everybody else gets lands. Everybody else gets all this stuff. But you get me." And in 1 Peter, it tells us that we are a royal priesthood. It is our responsibility to bear the ark, the very presence of God, to stand before the Lord, to minister to the Lord, and to bless his name. That's our responsibility. I believe Eli let the lamp go out. God turned his attention to Samuel and called him because he ministered unto the Lord. In Acts chapter 13, verse number 2, it says this, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them." Wow. God called Saul. God called Barnabas because they ministered unto the Lord. They were ministering to the Lord. That's what they cared about. That's what their desire was to please the Lord. Now, if you would please turn to Ezekiel chapter number 44. And here we're going to see the rubber kind of meet the road. Ezekiel chapter number 44, verse number 9. Ezekiel 44, verse number 9. If you went to Romans, you went too far. The Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord God, No stranger, uncircumcised in heart, nor uncircumcised in flesh, shall enter into my sanctuary, of any stranger that is among the children of Israel." God says, listen, only people that can come into my presence and that can come into my sanctuary are saved people. People who are uncircumcised in the heart. No stranger. Nobody that I don't know, that hasn't called upon my name, shall enter into my sanctuary. Verse number 10. "And the Levites that are gone away far from me, when Israel went astray, which went astray away from me after their idols, they shall bear their iniquity." God says, and I have something to say about the Levites, the priests. Because they went far away from me, and because they led the children of Israel far away from me, because they served idols. Idols, that's interesting. Of course, we know, we've heard preaching on idols as anything that you put before God. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 5, it says this, "For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." Wow, that's a pretty powerful statement. Somebody who's covetousness, who is an idolater. If you're covetous, if you want something besides God, if you want something besides what God has for you, the Bible says that you are covetousness and you are an idolater. The Bible tells us in Galatians 5:20 that idolatry is one of the works of the flesh. Colossians 3:5 tells us that covetousness is idolatry. God wants us to be content with him. Covetousness, which is idolatry, is wanting anything outside of the Lord or his will. Hebrews chapter number 13, verse number 5 says, "Let your conversations be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That was the inheritance of the Levites, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, listen, don't be covetousness. You have me, and I'll never leave you nor forsake you. It goes on to say, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The book of 1 John closes with these words. In 1 John chapter 5, verse number 21, it says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Keep yourselves from idols. You know, covetousness, in contrast with Psalms chapter 23, verse number 1, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. How could I possibly want anything besides him? I mean, what do you want? What do you want? These Levites wanted something else besides God. As a matter of fact, in Ezekiel 44, verse number 8, it says, and ye have not kept the charge of mine holy things, but ye have set keepers of my charge in my sanctuary for yourselves. It was all about them. Oh, Lord, we know what you want us to do. We got it from here. And now we're going to run the show. They had idolatry. They had a different want. Let's look at verse number 15. Or, I'm sorry, verse number 11. It says, and they shall be ministers in my sanctuary. This is the Levites. Having charge at the gates of the house and ministering to the house, they shall slay the burnt offerings and the sacrifices for the people, and they shall stand before them to minister unto them, because they ministered unto them before their idols and caused the house of Israel to fall into iniquity. Therefore have I lifted up mine hand against them, saith the Lord God, and they shall bear their iniquity, and they shall not come near unto me to do the office of a priest unto me, nor to come near to any of my holy things in the most holy place, but they shall bear their shame and their abominations which they have committed. And look at verse number 14. But I will make them keepers of the charge of my house for all the service thereof and for all that shall be done therein. Wow. Because of their idolatry, because they ministered to the people with a love for the things of this world in their heart, their punishment was this. You're going to have to do the work of the Lord, and you're going to have to minister to the people. Wow, that's kind of a bizarre punishment that God would give somebody. Let's continue reading verse number 15. But the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, that kept the charge of my sanctuary, when the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near to me to minister unto me, and they shall stand before me to offer me the fat and the blood, saith the Lord God. They shall enter into my sanctuary, and they shall come near to my table to minister unto me, and they shall keep my charge. Wow. Because the sons of Zadok kept the charge of the sanctuary and ministered to the Lord, their reward was this: to do the work of the Lord and to minister to the people. You say, well, wait a second. I thought you just said that was the punishment for those that didn't minister to the Lord. Now you're telling me that's the reward for those who do minister to the Lord? Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. You see, the punishment for the Levites was to do the work of the Lord and to minister to the people. Yet the reward for the sons of Zadok was the same thing. The work of the Lord was something the Levites had to do. The work of the Lord was something the sons of Zadok got to do. The Levites, it was a burden. To the sons of Zadok, it was a blessing. And before I met Lori a long time before that, I knew I was surrendered to be a missionary, and I was talking to this girl. Only girl that was also surrendered to be a missionary, so I thought, well, this has to be it. This is the one, because we're the only ones that are surrendered to the mission field. I remember one time we were sitting at the cafeteria, and she left and went and did something. She had her laptop sitting there, and I kind of swiped the screen. I was going to play around on it, and she had all this worldly music on there. And I thought, whoa, what is all this stuff? I mean, this is the stuff God saved me from. She came back, and I was like, what is this? And this is what she told me. When I was a little girl, I went forward to surrender to the call to mission field, but then I grew up. And now I just have all this pressure from everybody. This is just what they expect me to do. So here I am in Bible college. I thought, whoa, how sad is that? I mean, your whole life is a lie. I mean, can you imagine? I don't know what happened to her, but if she made it to the mission field with this in her heart. And everything was just a big lie. I just pretend the work of the Lord would surely be a burden to her. Praise the Lord, he led me to Lori after that. But that's how it is. Do you minister to the Lord? You see, the thing was, they had to do the work of the Lord without him. But those sons of Zadok got to do the work of the Lord with him. And that makes all the difference in the world. When you get to go into that most holy place, when you get to minister to the Lord, when you get to pour out your heart before him, when you pick up the word and you get to dive into it and get to meet him and know him and he reveals himself to you and you walk with him, it makes all the difference in the world. I told Lori this. We watched some great men of God, some preachers that have fallen. And I thought, man, these guys are greater than me. And they fell. And I said, Lori, listen, I'm telling you this right now while I'm sober, right now while I'm right with the Lord. If you ever see me walk away from the Lord, if you ever see me quit having a devotional life, if you ever quit seeing me getting up early and going to meeting the Lord, run for help. Because it won't be long before I'm dead, and it won't be long before our ministry dies, and it won't be long before our family dies. You see, I need God for everything. I need his hand upon my life to raise my children. I need his hand upon my life to be a good citizen. I need his hand upon my life to be a good husband. I need his hand upon my life to do what he's called me to do. I need him. And if I don't have him, it's just a lie. It's going to be a burden. And it won't be long before I die inside. And I'm just going through the motions. And I don't want that. Look at verse number 17. It says, "And it shall come to pass that when they enter in at the gates of the inner court, that they shall be clothed with linen garments, and no wool shall come upon them, whiles they minister in the gates of the inner court and within. And they shall have linen bonnets upon their head, and they shall have linen breeches upon their loins." Why do they have all these linen stuff on? Because they shall not gird themselves with anything that causes sweat. I like that. You know what the work of the Lord is to me? It's no sweat. If you love the Lord and you're walking with the Lord, it's no sweat. It's easy. As a matter of fact, he told us in the book of Matthew, he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." If you walk with me, if you minister me, if you get to know me, if you spend your time seeking me, it's going to be no sweat. It's going to be easy. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 15, I love this verse. It says, "I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and they which have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints." Why? In verse number 18, "For they have refreshed my spirit and yours." They ministered unto me. And now I've let them be addicted to the ministry. They love to do it. It's easy for them to do it. It's what they get up in the morning thinking about. Why? Because they're walking with me. Skip down to verse number 23. This is what else they get to do. It says, "And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean." They got to minister to the Lord. Now they get to minister to the people. Not just to teach them what to do and what to think, but how to think and how to discern. Why? Because they know God. They walk with God. They understand God. They understand what God wants. They understand what God loves. They understand what God hates. And they're able to teach others also. Look at verse number 28. It says this, "And it shall be unto them for an inheritance. I am their inheritance. And ye shall give them no possession in Israel." Why? because I am their possession. That's all I want. That's all I want is the Lord. You who minister to the Lord, he will become very real to you. And you'll get to know him in a way that others will never get to know him. All the great men in the Bible, they all had one thing in common. They all sought the Lord. I think of Moses, and he was up there and he said, God, I just want to see you. God said, no man has seen God at any time unless he died. But that was his desire. He wanted to see God. He wanted to know God. I heard one preacher preach one time. I don't know how true it is, but they said when Moses died, maybe I think he took him up to the mountain and said, hey, you know how I said no man shall see God unless he shall surely die? Well, let's take off that veil there, Moses. And Moses just walked right into the presence of God. I don't know if that's true, but it makes good preaching. Moses wanted to see God. I think of David. He said this, as the hart panteth for the water brook, so my soul longeth after thee. I want to know you. I want to know you. I want to be with you. I want to know everything there is. David was a man after God's own heart. He didn't just want to know what God said. He wanted to know who God was. He wanted to know what his heart was. I think of Paul. At the very end of his life, he says, oh, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. What are you talking about, Paul? I thought you did know him. I mean, wasn't it you that seen the bright light? Wasn't it you that was beaten and scourged for him and imprisoned for him and whipped for him? I thought you did know him. Oh, that I may know him more. At the very end of his life, he just wanted to know God. 2 Chronicles chapter number 16 says this, that the eyes of the Lord go to and fro the whole earth to prove himself strong in behalf of them that seek him out of a pure heart. God is looking for somebody who's looking for him. In Genesis chapter 15, verse number 1, God tells this to Abraham. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. That's the prize. That's the gift. That's the reward. The exceeding great reward is him. How could I want anything else? And God says, if you want me, you can have me. He's not trying to hide from you. He's not trying to hide his will from you. He said, seek and ye shall find. Ask and it shall be given. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. You want God? You want to know who God is? He's right there, just waiting for you to seek him. You can get as close as you want to him. You're as close to God as you want to be. And you can crawl right up in his lap. You can put your head on his bosom just like John did and hear that holy heartbeat. You can know him. You can walk with him, and your joy can be full in him. And the work of the Lord, it'll be no sweat. It'll just be something you're addicted to, something you just get up in the morning and you just